To the book of Romans chapter 12, vamos a Romanos capítulo 12 esta noche. The Lord has taken us on Sunday nights through the book of Romans, and instead of bringing a special sermon tonight that will be distinct, I thought I'd just continue expounding the text that God has laid before us, Romans chapter 12. Hemos, en las tardes aquí en el servicio en inglés, estamos estudiando el pasaje de Romanos capítulo 12. Le invito a que entonces abra su Biblia a ese pasaje esta noche. We are looking at the life of the believer after we have been redeemed and made clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Estamos viendo este pasaje desde el punto de vista después que hemos sido redimidos y salvados por la sangre de Jesucristo, hechos una nueva criatura. El apóstol Pablo nos comienza a enseñar cómo uno debe de vivir. How shall we then live? Now that you're a Christian, how do we live? Romans 12, 1 through verse 5 spoke of the fact that we should worship Him, priority of worship. And then he went on to verses 6 through 8 to talk about the priority of ministry, that we should be involved in not only worshiping Him, but also ministry. In capítulo 12, versículos 1 al 5, nos habló de la prioridad de la adoración. Fuimos salvos para adorar a nuestro Señor Jesucristo. Versículos 6 al 8 habló de la prioridad de ministrar con nuestros dones espirituales. Todos hemos recibido un don espiritual y la prioridad es de ministrar con ese don en particular. And then in verse 9, he begins to speak about the priority of love. We as believers in our call to love one another. To love the believers, first of all, verses 9 through 16, and then secondly, to love the unbeliever, verses 17 through 21. Nos habla también el apóstol Pablo de la prioridad del amor. Ya que somos redimidos en el Señor, entonces debemos demostrar el amor los unos con los otros. Versículos 9 al 16 habla del amor fraternal entre los hermanos en Cristo. Ya que somos un cuerpo de Cristo, debemos de mostrar el amor unos con los otros. Y luego, del versículo 17 al 21, nos habla del amor que uno debe tener para los que no son creyentes. Porque no son creyentes no excluye la necesidad de mostrarle el amor a estas personas también. Entonces, lo que gobierna la vida de un creyente es el amor. What governs the life of the believer is love. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you," what? If you have love for one another. The mark of the Christian is his love for one another. La marca del cristiano es el amor que tiene para su prójimo, especialmente para su hermano en Cristo. It is the greatest apologetic, it is the greatest defense of the faith, is your love, our love for one another. The greatest defense that we have for the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is people looking at us and knowing that we have been changed, transformed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have love for one another. It is said of the early church that the unbelievers said, "My, how they love one another." Se decía que en tiempos antiguos los incrédulos, los enemigos del cristianismo decían, "Mira cómo se aman los unos a los otros," hablando de los cristianos. May that be the case around here. May that be the case with anybody that looks at our lives. May they see us as loving people. Que eso sea con nosotros aquí. En la iglesia, nuestras vidas, que los que nos ven, que digan, mira cómo se aman los unos a los otros. En versículo 9 comenzamos ya en una sesión anterior. We began speaking here at a previous session together, the priority of love toward one another. Verse 9, versículo 9, we saw that love is to be sincere. El amor debe de ser sincero. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let's not just dress in love, let's show real love. No nomás la vista, el amor debe ser amor sincero. También, in versículo 9, it also says that love should be pure. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is what? Good. Genuine love has a deep purity to it. El amor sincero también es un amor puro. Y se puede decir que la virtud más grande del amor es la pureza, porque viene de Dios, tiene su raíz en Dios. We can say that the greatest virtue of love is purity because love comes from God. The Bible says, we love because He what? He first loved us. In our own selves, we don't have the ability to love. We love because God first loved us. And if you're a genuine believer in Christ, you can love one another because God lives in you. Entonces, el amor es puro. Fíjese también en versículo 10, en verse 10, that the Lord went on to say that love is loyal. El amor es leal. Dice aquí, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Nos habla allí de un amor fraternal. Habla de un amor que existe entre una familia. It says the blood is thicker than water, and it's really so. And so it must be even more true among the family of God, that we belong to one another because we're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are truly brothers and sisters in Christ, are we not? We are, somos hermanos, ¿que no es cierto? Y porque somos hermanos, tenemos un amor fraternal, un amor leal. Y luego, versículo 10, verse 10, we also spoke about the fact that love is also that which give preference to one another in honor. Love is honorable. Es decir, love, el amor, da el honor a su prójimo. Estimamos a otros más que a nosotros mismos. We give preference to each other in honor. Something lost today in our culture is honoring one another. This respecting the individual is something that is truly lost. But if you really love one another, if you really love the way we should love, we are showing respect one towards another. Lo que falta hoy en día en el mundo es el honor, el respeto que debe de existir entre la familia, en la iglesia, etc. Y eso falta, pero si tenemos un amor que extiende de Dios, vamos a reconocer el honor que la persona tiene, primeramente porque es una criatura de Dios, y segundo porque es importante para uno reconocer eso. Entonces el honor es una expresión del amor. Come to verse 11 tonight, verse 11 and verse 12 tonight. We just simply touch two verses tonight. Vamos a tocar dos versículos esta noche. In verses 11 and 12, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Two other criteria of love, two other characteristics of love among God's people. Vamos a ver dos características del amor también que existe aquí entre nosotros. La prioridad del amor dice así que el amor sirve a su prójimo. Love serves. You truly love will be serving one another. Love is never self-serving. Love is always serving one another. El amor bíblico, no es un amor que se sirve a sí mismo, sino un amor que sirve a su prójimo. That's why in this verse we group these phrases together, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It's the idea of involvement in serving one another. See, love is an active word. Love is not about a feeling. Love is it's an action. It implies something that we do, not just something we feel. If you are not careful in today's society, you think of love simply as a warm, fuzzy feeling. Well, you know, I don't feel something towards you, therefore, I'm not obligated to do anything for you because I don't love you. And love in the Word of God is not necessarily a feeling. It is always an active word. It's something that we do for one another. It's an expression of the deep care that we have for one another. El amor no nomás es un sentimiento. No nomás algo que sentimos por dentro. El amor es algo activo, lo que uno hace para su prójimo, para su hermano. Por eso usamos la palabra, el amor sirve a su prójimo, God serves. Love serves. And notice in verse 11, versículo 11, the very last phrase, serving whom? Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. What does it mean to serve the Lord? Well, it means to serve the body of Christ. Sirviendo al Señor significa sirviendo su cuerpo, el cuerpo de Cristo, es decir, sirviendo a su iglesia, serving the church. You see, when you say, some people say, well, I love Jesus, I just don't love the church. Yo amo a Cristo, nomás yo nomás no amo la iglesia, yo amo a Cristo. That's what they call in English an oxymoron. In Spanish, I can't translate that in Spanish. You figure that's, es algo, una contradicción. De decir, yo amo a Cristo, pero no amo a la iglesia, es una contradicción. It's impossible to do that. In Matthew 25, go to Matthew 25, I want you to see why. In Mateo 25, Mateo 25, in verse 31, versículo 31, en el juicio final, in the last judgment, it says here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the judgment. Versículo 31 al 40. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, and He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, the sheep, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The King will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the least, one of these my brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to whom? To me. See, you can't serve Jesus. You can't serve Him directly. You see that? You can only serve the Lord by serving His what? His people. It's when you do it to the people of God that you serve the Lord. That's why it's important for you and I to keep that in mind. As we express our love for one another, it involves serving one another, caring for one another. Es imposible, es una contradicción decir, yo amo a Cristo, pero no sirvo a su pueblo, no sirvo a su cuerpo, es imposible. Dice aquí Jesucristo que cuando le ministras a sus hermanos, lo ministras a Él mismo. Este es entonces importante, put your service in perspective. There are some people, some Christians who say they love Jesus, who do nothing for the people of God. They deny their love by their actions. You cannot love the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't love His people. The people are the body of Christ, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, he says, serving the Lord. Go back to Romans 12. Vamos a Romanos 12. Therefore, he says, our service should be with diligence. With diligence. We're serving the Lord. We should serve the Lord with diligence, not lagging behind in diligence. Ser diligente. Diligente en nuestro servicio. Mi texto dice, no seáis perezosos en lo que requiere diligencia. Importante entonces en el amor tener una diligencia. That we be diligent. Laziness is really the lack of love. And if you're not careful, all of us have a lazy bone inside of us. For some of us, it's a huge bone. Okay? Tenemos entre nosotros un hueso perezoso. Y entonces, we need to be careful that we don't let this get the best of us. Laziness is an expression of the lack of love. Follow with me in Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Vamos a Proverbios 18. In the 18th chapter of Proverbs, Proverbios 18 nos habla tocante la pereza. It talks about laziness in the 18th chapter and come to verse 9. Versículo 9, el capítulo 18 de los Proverbios. It says here in verse 9, he who is slack in his work is brother to him who what? Who destroys. Interesting. If you are slack in your work, if you are lazy in your work, he says, you are a brother to him that destroys. Some man who goes out and burns a building down, he says, you're just like him. If you are lazy in your lifestyle, si eres perezoso en su vida, eres uno como tiene como hermano aquel que enciende un fuego para quemar un edificio, aquel que destruye cosas, que destruye edificios, tú y él son iguales. Because laziness is an expression of not caring. And for that reason, we need to realize that if we have a lazy attitude about us, it's an expression of the fact that we really don't care. We don't care about people. We don't care about what happens around us. It means that I really don't love. I don't love you, and I don't love people. That's why he reminds us then, do not be lagging in diligence. No, he says, serve, but serve with diligence. Go to the 10th chapter of Proverbs. Vamos a capítulo 10 de los Proverbios. En versículo 10, capítulo 10, versículo 4, in chapter 10 and verse 4, reminds us again, poor is he who works with what kind of hand? A negligent hand, or a lazy hand. But the hand of the diligent makes what? Makes rich. Nos habla aquí de la diligencia, hablando eso. Entonces nos exhorta que no seamos perezosos, sino que seamos diligentes en nuestra manera de trabajar. You see, laziness hurts others because we become dependent upon them. Our culture is spiraling downhill. We are working the opposite. We have a mood today that says, don't work too hard. Work as the least you possibly can. And friend, that is not an expression of love. Love is do everything. Do the best you can. Love is diligence. You don't want to be dependent upon somebody else. You don't want to hurt them by you becoming a dependent person. And therefore, to truly love means to be involved and to be diligent at work. Si amas realmente, entonces, vas a ser una persona que va a trabajar, va a servir con diligencia. No vas a ser una persona perezosa. Vas a tú ser una persona que va a ser diligente en todo lo que hace. Regresamos a Romanos capítulo 12. Let's return to Romans chapter 12. And you notice that he adds here in Romans 12, he adds the word that we should also be fervent in spirit. Dice que seamos fervientes en espíritu. Fervent in spirit. Fervientes en espíritu. That is, love has a certain zeal to it. It's zealous. Something that burns deep within you. It is not something that is artificially produced. It's something you have from within inside of you. It's something that permeates your lifestyle. And for a believer who finally learns to love others and to love people around them, there's a certain zeal in his life, a bounce in his step. There's an energy that drives him. There's something that he does with earnestness because he loves those around him. Aquel que ha sido redimido por la sangre de Jesucristo, su vida transformada, entonces se hace una persona ferviente en espíritu. Se dice que es una persona de entusiasmo, with enthusiasm. It's interesting, the word enthusiasm means in God, in theos, which is the two words for being in God. That is, when God is in you, he gives you a certain enthusiasm for life. Something happens to you that changes your entire way of living. And it's interesting to note that when God touches your life, as He touched my life, there's a zeal that happens to you. You become passionate about things. And so a believer in Christ is passionate about the things around him. He also imitates God Himself, who is also zealous. El que es un creyente tiene una cierta pasión por las cosas de Dios. There's a passion about him. He's consumed by that. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do with what? All your heart. Not half your heart, but with what? All your heart. Lo que su mano debe tomar para hacer, que lo haga con toda su fuerza. Somebody said, it's better to burn out than to rust out. I agree with that. Es mejor que uno, I forget how you want to translate that, burn out and rust out. But I think you get the message to that. Some of us are so afraid. Well, you know, Pastor, I don't want to burn out. But you're not doing anything. I think you're rusting out. You're almost petrified. We hardly can move you. You see, and so the issue is that we need to be people of passion. Love serves. We this afternoon had an opportunity to have a meal for our new members. Tenemos una cena para los que van a ser miembros. And we asked them to give a testimony about what they want to do for God. Les pedimos que den un testimonio para que lo que quieran hacer para Cristo. And it's so encouraging to see our new members wanting to serve God, wanting to serve you and serve us. Es notable, lindo ver que desean servir al cuerpo de Cristo. They want to serve the Lord. And it's so good. That's the reason why some people don't become members. They don't want to be committed. They don't want to love you the way they should love you. That's what they're saying to you. I don't want to be committed to you. So don't put me in that category. Don't box me in. I want to have the freedom not to love you. Oh, friend, we don't have that option. We don't have that option to opt out. We already are opt in through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And therefore, we are to be serving one another. Now, let's proceed in our text to go to verse 12. Because love also is one that perseveres. Love perseveres. El amor persevera. Nos dice aquí en versículo 12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. El amor sincero, el amor verdadero, el amor que viene de Jesucristo, es un amor que persevera. See, some people's love is convenient. I'll love you as long as it's convenient for me to love you. I'll love you as long as everything's fine and I get much out of it, but the minute it starts costing me, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. See, that's not Christian love. That's not Christian love. That's superficial. That's convenience. That's a fair weather affection. No, he says true, genuine love is love that perseveres. El amor sincero, el amor que viene de Cristo, es amor que va a perseverar. No abandonamos el amor porque tenemos dificultades. No abandonamos porque hay tribulación o quizás nos disgusta un poquito o quizás mucho y abandonamos el amor. No, el amor que viene de Cristo persevera. It's a love that perseveres. That's why he groups in this verse these three phrases, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer. And so I want to just emphasize the fact that love perseveres in tribulation. It perseveres in tribulation. Job says we are born into trouble as sparks fly upward. Job nos dice que hemos nacido en aflicción, así como las chispas vuelan para arriba. Es natural, es normal. La vida que viene con tribulaciones es una vida normal. You know, having tribulations is a normal life. Sometimes we sit and we think we're the only ones having problems and difficulties. You ever think about that? Like, you know, it's why me? And why me? And then you start hearing testimonies and you realize that everybody's having problems. You ever notice that? And it's rare. It's rare. You know, we're putting new cushions on these pews. Estamos aforrando estas bancas You on this side, you're missing out because all these pews have real nice cushions on them. And you wicked people on this side under great torment. You know, but every now and then, en vez en cuando nos dice, no mira pastor, no les ponga tan un colchón tan cómodo porque se van a poner muy cómodos. Don't make it so soft for them. You know, it's always some young person that has no back problems that talks like that. Some YSA or some young 25-year-old. Wait till you turn 60, friend, or turn 50, and all the killer bees start attacking you. Wait till all the, your back is always out of joint. You know what I'm saying? And your knees, you carry a can of WD-40 just to work on your knees to make sure that they're, in other words, everybody has problems, do we not? All of us have issues. You have difficulties. Tribulations are a way of life. That's why it says here, persevere in tribulation. Hang in there. Work your way through it. It's normal for the believer. You're not the exception, you're the rule. Afflictions and problems are the rule of life. Las aflicciones, las tribulaciones, es algo normal en la vida cristiana. El que no está pasando por una aflicción es un momentito, que se aguante y que se espere porque ahí vienen. Ahí alrededor de la esquina, ahí viene, ahí va a aterrizar en unos cuantos momentos. Es decir, es normal. Go to Romans 5. This is why Romans 5 reminds us that we should persevere in tribulation because it has such positive impact when it comes to our affections and to our love. Romanos 5 nos dice, mira, persevera en la tribulación porque es para tu bienestar. Versículo 3, verse 3, and not only this, but we also exult in our what? Tribulations. We exult in them. We rejoice in them. We thank God for them, knowing that tribulation brings about what? Perseverance. La tribulación nos resulta en la perseverancia. Heat hardens steel. Diamonds are produced by great pressure, great affliction. And so it is that great Christians are produced by great tribulation. And God is working on producing great believers. And so the depths of our love is going to be enriched by our tribulations. Let's read on. In verse 4, and perseverance brings about proven character, and proven character brings about hope. And this hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Tribulation perfects our love, is what Paul is saying here. As you persevere in your trials, God's love is going to be revealed through you. It's going to flow out to you. The love is already inside of you, but God wants to have this love come out and it be expressed in its richness, in its perfections, and tribulation does that. El amor de Cristo, el amor de Dios, ya está presente dentro de uno por el Espíritu Santo que mora entre nosotros, pero la tribulación lo que hace es que perfecciona este amor y se va a mostrar y se va a manifestar. This is why you see great affection, for example, in the armed services, a group of Marines or soldiers or Navy SEALs who fight together, who struggle together, they become a band of brothers because they experience the same love. The love is perfected among. That's why a good marriage, a good solid marriage is a marriage that comes out great affection. Poverty and problems and pain and all these things produce a great marriage. That's why it's a great mistake to bail out when things get tough. No, don't bail out. Stick it out. Let the Lord work on perfecting your love for one another. And you see that to me. Also, you see it in churches. When a church goes through difficulties and trials and challenges and they stick it out, They have a devotion to one another that is unprecedented and unparalleled. La tribulación hace que el amor crezca, el amor va a perseverar por las buenas y también por las malas. En Romanos 12, go back to Romans 12, nos habla también que el amor persevera en tribulación y el amor persevera en la esperanza. It perseveres in hope, rejoicing in hope, gozándoos en la esperanza. Hope, hope. That's something that the world does not have. El mundo no tiene esperanza. Nosotros la tenemos. We have hope. And see, love perseveres because it has the expectation of help. We can love one another. We can love each other in spite of the difficulties and problems because there's a great expectation of help, divine help, God's help coming in to help us in regards to this. And a cristiano puede perseverar en amor porque tiene esta expectación de socorro, de la ayuda divina que viene de Dios. Tenemos esa esperanza. Han experimentado. They did an experiment with rats. And what they did is they put this rat in a can and threw him in and the rat was trying to save himself and swam and swam and swam around, and then the person reached out and took him out and saved him. And then he did the same experiment again, but this time he took two rats. He took the rat that he had pulled out and a new rat and put both rats in there. The rat swam and swam and swam. The new rat eventually gave up and drowned. But the first rat kept swimming and swimming and swimming because he already knew he had been saved what? Once. He could be saved what? Twice. You see, when you have hope, you persevere. When there's no hope, you give up. Do we have hope? Do we have hope? Absolutely. And so because of that, we persevere in our affections towards one another. Perseveramos en el amor los unos con nosotros. We have the assurance of divine help. Not only the expectation, we also have the divine assurance of divine help. Tenemos la aseguranza de la ayuda del socorro divino. Dios nos ha dado la promesa. Él nos ha prometido que no nos desamparará. He will not forsake us. That's His promise, hasn't it? I will never leave you, and I will never what? Forsake you. So we have confidence. We have confidence. We have this confidence that God works all things together for good to those that love God. That is, God is always, He has never, ever, ever abandoned us. And for that reason, our love for each other is not out of convenience. It's a deep, deep commitment toward one another because we know that our love is going to persevere. Este amor que tenemos con unos con nosotros no es un amor de conveniencia. Es un amor profundo, un amor que persevera en todo. It's this hope that we have as God's sunshine in the soul of the believer. You see, our hearts are always lit up with hope. There's never a gloom. There's never an overwhelming darkness. There's never a sense where there is so dark, it is so dark that there is no light. Friend, in Christ, you're never there. Because in Christ, there's always this hope. This hope. There's this ray that burns inside of us. It's the sunshine of God's hope that shines brightly inside of us that allows us to keep on moving on and loving one another. El amor, la esperanza que tenemos es como una luz que está en nuestras vidas, que no es una oscuridad, no es algo que nos hunde en la depresión. No, tenemos la esperanza que Dios nos ha hecho, la promesa que no nos abandona, que va a estar allí al momento para ayudarnos. ¿Cierto o no? He's going to be there for us. I mean, we have this great hope. You know, the worst thing could happen to a believer is to die. That's the worst thing. To get killed. But friend, if that's the worst thing, don't you know that when you're absent from the body at home with the Lord? How bad can that be? True or not? You see, this is what I was in. You know, I'm afraid of heights. I just have that inborn afraid of heights. Yo tengo un temor de las alturas. I'm confessing my weakness to you. And one day my mother, when she was alive, we went to Magic Mountain, and she said, "Son, let's go on this killer roller coaster." My mom had courage of a lion. She was already in her late 60s and wanted, like a little kid, to get on these things. And she had no partner to go with. It was Favi and I and my mom. And Favi wasn't going to do it, so she says, you know, and I said, "Well, no, Mom, that's okay, I'm going to stay." "No, son, come, you'll enjoy it." Now, what could I say? I'm a pastor of a church. I'm a man of God. You know what I'm saying? I believe in the God and the Word of God. Am I going to say, "Mom, I'm afraid of heights"? You know? So I had to say, "Okay, Mom." And I was like shaking in my shoes. And I had to reason myself. You know, what if I get killed? What if I fall off? What if the safety belt breaks? What if I fall headlong? I had to reason. I said, you know, if the worst thing can happen to you, you're going to get killed and go to heaven. That helped me. So I did that. I screamed the whole time. I closed my eyes and everything else. But as you know, I survived. I'm here. But it's the hope that I had. See, it's the hope that drove me through that crisis. You see, friend, we persevere. We persevere. And finally, notice in chapter 12, it says, devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. Reminds us that we should be devoted to prayer. Dedicados a la oración. We have prayer at our disposal. See, we're going to persevere in our love because we always have a connection to God. Always. You know, a few years ago, there were some miners in Chile. Había unos mineros en la ciudad de Chile. Usted lo vieron por la noticia. Allá al profundo, ahí estaban como prisioneros. Yeah, they were holed up in a mine shaft. But see, because they had access to the up, there was a hole that was made where they could talk and have communication, gave them great hope. They were able to endure because they had access. No one gave up. We have access to God through prayer, do we not? Tenemos contacto con Dios por la oración, ¿qué no es cierto? Y podemos entonces perseverar en el amor. El misionero Dr. Livingston, que fue a la África cuando estaba la África lo más oscuro, the darkest of Africa. He went as a missionary. To preach Christ and to discover and map out Africa. He loved the Africans. He preached to the Africans. He loved them. He died. He died one day, and they found him on his knees. He had been praying, and as he prayed, he died. When the natives came to look for him, Dr. Livingston, they found him in his tent, on his knees, praying, dead. He was devoted to prayer. Imagine that. All that he did, he tied in to God. The Africans said when he died, "We will ship his body back to England, but his heart will keep in Africa." They cut him open, took his heart out, and buried the heart in Africa, and shipped the body back because he had a great heart, a great love for the African people. Friend, you have a great love for each other. Let nothing quench that. "By this, all men will know you're my disciples," Jesus says, "if you have" what? "Love for one another." Let's love one another. Demostrar el amor los unos a los otros. Let's look around. Let's just love each other. Amen or not? Now, look over the faults that we have. We're a family. True or not? Look over all the things that are wrong with me and just love me for who I am. And I'll love you for who you are. Love perseveres. Love serves. Amen? Let's pray together. Thank you, Father. Gracias, Dios, que nos has salvado, nos has transformado. You saved us, transformed us, made us new creatures, nos ha hecho nuevas criaturas. Y nos has puesto en nuestros corazones, in our hearts, the love of God that surpasses all comprehension. God, help us not to love each other from the heart. Señor, ayúdanos a amar los unos a los otros de todo corazón. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.